So take your devotionals, if you have them, with you, and front page. I only have about three here. If somebody forgot to bring it and wants it, wants to have a copy, anybody need it? Okay. Now we're going to read the Apostles' Creed together, all right? So you answer my question now when I say, Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So the phrase here that the most people have spoken back to me this week was this one. The Holy Catholic Church. Do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church? Yeah. So that's tomorrow morning. And the answer is yes. Okay. But tonight, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. That's the same thing. Just a little older language. We find it said that way in our King James Bible. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe that there is one Holy Spirit, a person, uncreated, and so the true and eternal God, yet not the Father or the Son, but the Spirit of the Father and the Son, the third person in the Blessed Trinity, that he inspired the writers of the Scriptures, that he is the Paraclete, or Comforter, by whom the apostles were enabled to establish and edify the Church, that he is the cause of all holiness in us, the source of regeneration, renewal, illumination, and sanctification. And our scripture reading is John 14, verses 15 through 26. If you'll take your Bibles and open to John 14, this is Jesus teaching to his disciples in the upper room before he went to the cross. He promised them that the Comforter, the Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, another Comforter, he calls him, will come, that he will send that Comforter when he goes away. Verse 15, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. These are wonderful words of life that Jesus said to his disciples before he left them. He could see that their hearts were troubled. They had heard that he was going to leave them, but he said, "It's better for you that I go away." How could that be? That's what Jesus said. It must be. It's better for you that I go away, because if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. When we talked about the day of Pentecost and the great ingathering of souls just the other day, I mentioned that the Holy Spirit was doing just what Jesus said he would when he would come. It was in the same discourse, just a little farther along. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And you remember how they were cut to the heart and they were convicted for their sin, their complicity in the murder of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's a marvelous thing. We mentioned it the other night that to people who were involved, the door of mercy is open, and the gospel invitation, the offer, the free offer of God's grace is extended to them if they will receive, if they will repent and believe the gospel. But the Holy Spirit was working there, and he brought conviction, and he brought the knowledge that in their current state, their sinful state, they would not be able to stand in the judgment day. They would stand condemned before the judge of all the earth. So there, the Holy Spirit convicted of sin and convinced of judgment that was coming and of righteousness that was needed. Brothers, what can we do? What shall we do? They said, trembling, convicted. And there the Holy Spirit was also at work, because the Holy Spirit draws people to Jesus. And as they were trembling and as they were convicted, I think we could say that the Holy Spirit took them by the hand and led them to Jesus. And they repented and they were baptized as Peter had told them, and they received the Holy Spirit and they received the promise that was for them and to all who would believe, to all that the Lord our God would call. So here's Jesus teaching about the Holy Spirit. It's better for you. There's another comforter, just like me. In fact, he says it that way. I won't leave you alone. I will come to you. But I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit, my Spirit. He is called the Spirit of Christ here in the New Testament. And as we read, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I believe in the Holy Spirit. That is the beginning of this third section of the Creed. And as I said, we'll go on, I hope, tomorrow morning at our last meeting of this series with the next things, a belief in God's church, and then in the community of the saints and the forgiveness of sins and resurrection and life everlasting. Amen. But we'll have first a profession of faith in the Spirit Himself. I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is divine. He's the Holy Spirit. He is an active person. You could call Him the executive of the Godhead, because He works in salvation. But what does He do? And what does he aim at? Some people, when they think of the Holy Spirit, they immediately think and only think of inspiration, unusual experiences, you know, feeling some kind of a holy high, getting a vision or some revelation that no one else got yet, or speaking in tongues, or some special sign or wonder or miracle. But Jesus never teaches that those are the primary things. Those are secondary elements of the Spirit's work. When they derive from the Spirit, they are secondary things. The Old Testament mentions the Holy Spirit in connection, and we've had this already, in connection with creation. Also in connection with human creation, you know, the Holy Spirit came upon those men that were to take the materials that were brought and the building of the tabernacle, and they received the anointing of the Holy Spirit to have wisdom and to know how to fashion things according to the directions that were given. The Holy Spirit is also mentioned in the Old Testament as inspiring the prophets of God, those who spoke for Him, and enabling God's servants, equipping them, the judges and the kings and God's people, and bringing forth godliness in individuals and among God's people. In the New Testament, the Spirit is shown to be a person distinct from the Father and the Son, and He's spoken of as the Spirit of Christ. And I think that one way to understand the Holy Spirit and His work and the aim of His work is to see that His purpose is really the same as the purpose of the Father. In the New Testament, the Spirit's purpose and the Father's purpose are the same. That's to be expected, right? The Father and Son and Holy Spirit will not work in opposition. They will work in concert with one another. But here we can see that the Father and the Spirit seek to glorify the Son, to give glory and praise to the Son, to Jesus. The Holy Spirit, we find Him in connection with the Son of God. We've touched on so many of these things. In fact, when you sang, I heard so many of the things that we've been mentioning this week in that song, in Christ alone. But the Holy Spirit was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Remember how the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus right at the outset of His ministry, when He was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit came upon Him. He wasn't only the one who gives the Spirit, but He was filled with the Spirit, given the Spirit, we read, without measure. And even when He gave His life, it says He offered the sacrifice of atonement, it says, through the eternal Spirit. And the Spirit now acts in Jesus' behalf. He's a helper of God's people. He helps and supports. He's their advocate. He's their encourager. And he shows people Jesus through the gospel and unites people to Jesus by faith and indwells people to change them into Christ's image by causing the Spirit's fruit to grow in us. Jesus said he will glorify me, not himself, but me. The Holy Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so the Holy Spirit, I said before, on the day of Pentecost, took these inquirers that were convicted and wanting to know what to do. He took them by the hand and led them to Christ. And I believe he does that. He does that same thing. He's like a bright light that shines on Jesus and helps us to see Jesus and helps us to understand Jesus and the things of Christ. He leads us into the truth about Christ. And Jesus says, as we heard Sunday morning, "Come to me. Come unto me." And he said to his disciples, "Come to me, follow me." And we, in our hearts, in our consciences, with the inner ear, with the inner ear of faith, the Spirit helps us to hear that call and respond to it. When Jesus says, "Come after me, follow me," the Holy Spirit is saying, go to Jesus. Respond to that. Deal with him. Answer his call. And we do that. And that's what makes us Christians. The Holy Spirit works within us, draws us to Jesus, points us to Jesus, drives us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. We said already, and Jesus said, and he shows us that the Jesus that we read about in the Bible is real, and he is for us and for our salvation. And then another thing we read about that the Holy Spirit does is he assures us. We know that we belong to Christ. He assures us that as we believe in Jesus, we are God's children and we're heirs of a great inheritance, joint heirs with Christ. And then he also not only inspires us, but enables us to bear witness. We had the Ascension just recently in this creed, and there we read Jesus saying to his disciples, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." And there's more of the work of the Holy Spirit, helping God's people to bear testimony to the gospel of Christ. Paul prayed that the saints would have the eyes of their hearts enlightened. And that's the Spirit's work of witnessing to Christ in our hearts. Another thing the Holy Spirit does is gift God's people. He gives to Christians a gift, maybe more than one, so that they can express Christ in service to God and to man. And therefore, all of us can be ministers. A minister is a servant. And in the church, in the body of Christ, we are all called to minister. And the Holy Spirit makes that possible. It's Jesus' ministry, as we said this morning. It's his own ministry, this ministry of the manifold gifts that are given and distributed among the people of God in Christ's body. And Christ is ministering, as we have said here, ministering from heaven. But we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his mouth. And the Spirit bestows gifts upon us. And that's all, again, to glorify Christ, to glorify him. And Christ's ministry, even though he is in heaven and we are here, the Holy Spirit equips us so that Christ's ministry goes on. We read in Isaiah 53 that at the end of the chapter, remember how I said it goes like this? At the end of the chapter, Jesus exalted high. It says, you know what it says? The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. But you and I have a part in that. That's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord as we give ourselves to him. So how do we know the Spirit of God is at work? As I said before, not first of all through visions or dreams or revelations, real or supposed, not even healings or tongues. Those aren't first. Those don't come first. The sure signs that the Holy Spirit is within us is that our lives glorify Christ, that Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible that we have read, we've come across him in the New Testament, and we've learned to love his words, and we acknowledge him, and we trust him, and we love him, and we serve him for his glory, and we turn from sin to a life of holiness. That is really Christ's image in his people. Those are the signs of the Spirit's indwelling. There's an old song that I've come across quite a number of times. It's about Jesus leaving his disciples. Our blessed Redeemer, ere he left, I don't know, he breathed this tender last farewell. And it's about the Holy Spirit, that he left his Holy Spirit among his disciples. And one of the lines that's always struck me says this: and every virtue we possess, and every victory won, and every thought of holiness are his alone. The Holy Spirit has worked those in our hearts and lives. So when I say as a Christian, and as you did, by the way, a moment ago, I believe in the Holy Spirit, what do I mean by that? Well, I believe that Jesus is real, and that I can have personal fellowship with him. The living Christ of the New Testament is a reality to me. Through the Holy Spirit, I have found him, and I am open to being led by the Spirit who indwells me into the knowledge of Christ, into obedience to his word, as Sister Christine said, into service for him. And I expect to be led in that way every single day, because I'm walking with Jesus and I have the indwelling Spirit. And I bless him too. I thank the Spirit. I do, because he's given me this blessed assurance. When you sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." That comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. The Holy Spirit exalts Christ and helps me to do so with my lips and with my life. I'm a son of God, and so are you, or a daughter of God, and an heir of God. And it's a glorious and wonderful thing to say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. and he comes to us, and actually our being born again. I remember we often used to sing a song about heaven coming down and glory filling our souls, and one of the verses says, born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. That's the way we're saved. It's the working of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that to Nicodemus. But the Holy Spirit brings us life. You must be born again, but the Holy Spirit regenerates us. And as then we go along with Jesus, he renews us. He blesses us. He holds us. He keeps us. It's his power, God's power at work in his people. It's through the Holy Spirit. So how we thank God. And then we ask him also that we might have more of the Spirit of Christ, that we might be filled and filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, that he may be more active in us. I remember as a young boy, I'll close with this, hearing Stephen Olford preach at Calvary Baptist, and he spoke about the Spirit's fullness. It was one of his major themes. And of course, a good Baptist believes that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And by the way, we believe that too. If you want to know what we believe, that's what we believe. But and that's why I said the other day, when they started on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 of them. When they finished, there were 3,120 that had the Holy Spirit. And I said that in one church not too long ago. The minister got up to correct me because he was Pentecostal and he thought that was wrong. But anyway, Stephen Olford said that is so true, that the Holy Spirit comes when we're born again. And he witnesses to the reality of our sonship. And this is the way that we know. And he's working within us. But Stephen Olford said, you know, he doesn't just come to reside. He wants to come to preside. And he preached there that we want to get filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. We want to be emptied of ourselves and filled with Christ. Oh, let the Spirit of Christ fill me. He wants to take control. He wants to set up his throne in my heart, there to rule and reign, not just to reside, but to preside. And I guess the idea that Brother Olford was trying to bring across was, let's acknowledge Jesus as Lord of all in our lives and make room for him to spread his kingdom authority in us, truly to fill us with his Spirit. And if he gives you tongues to worship him, use them. Use them. What a wonderful blessing that is. Or if he illuminates your heart and shows you some glorious sight of himself or gives you that, receive it and thank him for it. That's the Holy Spirit working in you to exalt Jesus. That's his great purpose. The Father's purpose and the Spirit's purpose, as we see in the New Testament, is to exalt Christ and bring glory to him. And it pleases God when we love Jesus and when we live unto his praise and his glory. And we can only do that by the Holy Spirit. Only by the Holy Spirit. Every virtue we possess, and every victory won, and every thought of holiness, those are his alone. So come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. But let's sing Fill Me Now. And we can expect that the Lord hears our prayer. 124. Dear Lord, if it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make Jesus real and bring us into a true fellowship with Him and a greater love for Him, oh Lord, let our hearts be enthralled with the beauty of the person of Christ. Oh God, do that for us here in this camp. We know that You have brought us here and want to see the beauty of Jesus. And we want to also be changed by His indwelling life and power. Lord, let our lives glorify You. And let's sing 124. Hover o'er me, Holy Spirit, bathe my trembling heart and brow, fill me with Thy hallowed presence. Come, O come, and fill me now. As we sing verse 4. Cleanse and comfort, bless and save me. Bathe, oh bathe my heart and brow. Thou art comforting and saving. Thou art sweetly filling. Fill me now.
Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Oh, dear Father, we're so thankful for thy precious Holy Spirit. We're so thankful that you want to come and indwell us in a greater way. Oh, come and fill us with thy Holy Spirit and make us what you want us to be, body, soul, and spirit. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that you can indwell us all the time. Oh, help us to live so in your presence. That we'll be there all the time, all the time, being filled with thy Spirit for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to obey, Lord, that command, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we also want to have faith toward you. You said everyone who asks receives. And you said that God gives the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So we've just asked, Lord. And, oh God, we want to keep on asking. We want to keep on receiving, too. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us to keep our hearts wide open to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, and to your gracious working. Oh, we praise you. Thank you for this day, Lord. Again, a beautiful day outside in our hearts and in our midst too. Lord, you have done it. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. And we thank you for your presence among us now. And we pray that you'll keep us as we go from this place. And keep on working in each of our hearts and lives. Make Jesus to be great. Make Jesus to be big, great to every one of us, personally wonderful and great and glorious to each one of us. For your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. If there are those who'd like to wait in God's presence and receive out of Christ's fullness, why, this is a good time to continue to wait. Those who would like to go at this time, the meeting's dismissed. Let us go quietly.